This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I was doing this action, I was reading the Quran, and I was with my son, I feared him, and I stopped reading. The Prophet said, "Tilka al-mala'ikatu danat li sawtik." Those were the angels who came to listen to your voice of reciting the Quran. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we began by speaking about the first surah inside the Quran as a form of muqaddama, introduction to who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside these seven ayat, or what is classified as the greatest surah of the Quran, or awwal surah fil Quran, al-Fatiha, the beginning or the opening or the introduction to whom? The introduction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this surah lays out the requirements of the concept of belief and praise and shukr and gratitude and concept belief inside al-akhirah, about there is going to be Maliki Yawmiddin, one who's going to make people accountable on that day. And at the same time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance upon this dunya, upon this path. We mentioned as-sirat, amma fi dunya, is the path upon this dunya, or as-sirat, that we all have to cross inside al-akhirah. And then to help us, to aid us, to stay away from the paths of discrepancies and deviancies of those individuals or those groups or at-tawa'if who earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or dalin, or those who went astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These seven ayat now begins to then unfold, because ulama mentioned that the whole of the Quran is condensed inside Surah Al-Fatiha. And the whole of Al-Fatiha is condensed inside Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een. And then some say the whole of the Quran is condensed in just Alhamdu. Just inside Alhamd will summarize the whole Quran. Wa ba'dum qad qil fi harf ba, b. If we take Bismillah Rahman Rahim to be one of the ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, sums up the whole of the Quran. Because ba is al-isti'ana, seeking aid and assistance, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillah, bitawfiqillah. بِتَوْفِيقْ مِنَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ أَبْدَأَ الْقِرَاءَةِ. I begin my reading of the Qur'an. I begin my recital of the Qur'an. I begin my implementation of the Qur'an. وَإِذَا قَرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِدْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. If you begin to read the Qur'an, seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from الشيطان. وَبَعْدُ الْعُلَمَاءَ قَالُوا بَعْدَ الْقِرَاءَةِ. Some ulama said, after completing reading the Qur'an, now the attacks of shaitan will be even more visible. So they take it literally. Even the more correct meaning is before the recitation of the Qur'an, to seek al-isti'adha min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some of them say that after you complete it, because now you find that there's going to be this launch, these attacks of shaitan upon the human being. Amma, whatever the person has read, or whatever they see inside the Qur'an, that the shaitan is going to deter them. So the Qur'an opens up with this introduction, and then lays out that now when a person is prepared, when a person is equipped, فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مُتَقَلَّبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, have knowledge, فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, have knowledge that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and then seek forgiveness from Allah, from your sins and for the believers, men and women. And Allah knows that you're changing your situations. So if a person has al-ilm al-rasikh, has that deep belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the next surah is not just a minimal or a trivial surah, if you can use the words linguistically. It's a surah of 286 verses. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jump from 7 verses to 286 verses, being the longest surah inside the Quran, a Madinan surah? Because now if the believer really believes, now their heart and their mind and their limbs are going to be open to ahkamullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you're going to be open to the rules and regulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out. Because many of us, we become people who look at an external structure, a tertiary issue of a certain display of a Muslim. We fail to implement core elements. That's why, unfortunately, inside our society, I hate to say it, people wither away. Because it's just a cold dress sense, a certain display of certain things. And as they say, when the going gets rough or tough, then people begin to wither away. Because their iman is not rasikh. The iman is not rasikh, regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's rasikh about a certain display. As a sahib, not to undermine a display of a Muslim identity or entity. That's not here what we intend to do. Because many of these things are very important. But some of us become over worried about that. And we fail to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Or what the qawaneen or ahkam inside the Quran are. It's about change. It's about changing oneself. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusihim. A person will go through all the political climate in the world and all the different elements of attacks or political upheaval that we find inside society, whatever it may be. But the solution inside the Quran, Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin. Allah doesn't change a state or condition of people until they don't change their own selves. So how many of us as an individual person or as a nation or as an ummah that we believe in ahkamullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in his rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how the Quran speaks about this concept in Surah Al-Baqarah. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ تَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Do you believe in part of the book and reject another part of the book? You know, this may sound strange for many of us. These ayat speaking about Bani Israel are actually addressing us. That we've become a nation of people exactly the same thing. That we believe in certain part of the scripture of the book. We take those things which are easy for us to do, to uphold, to display, or to express, and then we leave other factors of the book. That's what we've become a nation that we begin to do. Or we become a nation, as the Quran mentions right inside the beginning, inside this surah, that are you a people? أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you begin to order people with good and piety? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And you forget your own selves. And we said this time and time again, we become a people who are so obsessed with other people. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And you forget your own selves. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ. And you recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Why don't you ponder and reflect, have the intellect, the mind, the capacity, the ability to comprehend, to see what the signs, what the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is leading us towards. This concept that now I'm going to lay out these ahkam, these rules and regulations. How many of them are you going to uphold inside your life? How many of them are you going to practice inside your life? As the beginning it mentions, as-salah, Allah mentions about the salah. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek aid and assistance via patience. Patience and as-salah. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Allah says clearly it's going to be something which is thaqeel, something difficult, something hard for a person to pray five times a day. And it is something hard. We shouldn't shy away from the fact salah is hard. It is difficult. That's what you find in some athar that you find. إِنَّ لِسَّلَاتِ شُغُلًا. Salah has a work, because the word shughul carries amal. It needs work, it needs effort. It needs preparation. It needs getting up. And at the same time, you find other wordings that mention that the salah is mi'rajul mu'min, is the mi'raj, is a coolness, is a soul, is a spirit, is contentment for the believer. So when a believer enters inside the correct meaning of salah, the Prophet ﷺ inside hadith in Sunnah Abi Dawood, جُعِلَتِ السَّلَاةُ فِي قُرَةُ عَيْنِي, or the salah has been made the coolness of my eyes. That's why he find that anything that troubled him inside his life, he would resort to returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the way the person alleviates their suffering, their depression, their worry, their thoughts. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah mentions the 23rd chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun. That look, what is how the believers are successful believers. Who are these successful believers? And these 10 or so sifat that Allah mentions, أَوَّلْ sifa lahum. The first thing that Allah mentions about these believing individuals, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, that they're submissive, they're devoted inside their prayers towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inside this surah Ahkam, even though you find Ahkam, you find some ulama mention Alf Khabar, wa Alf Amr, wa Alf Nahi. 1,000 pieces of information, 1,000 commandments, and 1,000 prohibitions inside Surah Al-Baqarah. That's how some ulama mentioned inside Tafsir Ibn Kathir, Imam Suyuti mentions as well. So even though this is a surah of ahkam and regulations, but yet you find great spirituality, being a Medinan surah, you find great spirituality inside this surah. The concept of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The concept of the last day is mentioned inside this surah. And likewise, you find the concept of resurrection, al-ba'ath. Because the Medinan theme is always speaking in general about rules and regulations, how to live one's life. But yet inside this surah, Allah speaks about resurrection. In five different locations at Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah mentions even the concept of Surah Al-Baqarah or the theme of the haifa, the cow. That where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to sacrifice or to kill this cow. And then how Allah described it, how He gives life to the dead. It's all a concept about resurrection. Till eventually you come towards the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. When Ibrahim alayhi salam mentions, asked exactly the same thing. Where it's called Ibrahim, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta, qala awalam tu'min. When Ibrahim said, oh my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. Allah said to him, don't you believe? Qala bala. He does believe. All prophets believe. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. I want that contentment in my heart. I want to see the physical display of life and death. I want to visualize it. But you know, for the rest of us, we'll never visualize the concept of life and death. Because when you're dead, that's it. It's عَالِمُ الْبَرْزَخِ. It's a world of the unseen. Person leaves, transcends this world and enters into a different zone, a different time zone. No one ever comes back to narrate what takes place there. But here the prophets are exposed to this. قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ. Allah says to Ibrahim, take four birds. Read it to Sir Ibn Kathir, he trained these birds. He loved these birds. He gave them names. He nurtured them. He took care of them. Then he was told to sacrifice them. And then to make ikhtilat, to mix their flesh and their feathers and their wings and their claws and their beaks. And to place it on the peak of different mountains. And then to do what? To call them. To call them by their names. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them come back to life. And resurrect them once again. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no one should think that anyone can be free from Allah. That Allah can't resurrect anyone. This is the concept of belief of the world that we live around us. There's no resurrection. There's no last day. زَعْمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّأُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Simple, easy. زَعْمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Disbelievers claim. Atheists, rejectors of God, agnostics. And even some Muslims begin to say, there's no last day. That's why many of us are weak in our belief. With the concept of we don't believe in the last day. There's no monetary gain. There's no worldly contentment. If I work today, I get paid £50, £100, I get a bonus. I see that physical aim given to me. But inside Al-Akhirah, there's no physical gain given to me. So I may as well shut it down, place it in the back of my mind. Yet the Quran begins by speaking about, this is the book, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Why does the Quran begin by speaking about, this is the book that has no discrepancy, has no doubts. Guidance for the believing individuals who believe in the unseen. Because the more you believe in the unseen, the more you know. أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. You know that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ بِظُلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Your Lord never ever oppresses any of His servants. He never ever oppresses any of His servants. That's why ulama mentioned Maliki Yawmiddin, that when He punishes, when He tortures, He brings people to retribution, He throws them into the hellfire. It's from His infinite justice. It's from His infinite justice that this person has been given a due ending. Because Allah never oppresses any individual. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul carries the burden of another soul. There's only certain limited things that we can do to help another individual, our loved ones, to help them on this journey, help them inside Al-Akhirah. But a total absolute control lies only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inside these ayat that we find is taqwa Allah. In these 286 verses, we find the concept of consciousness, al-muttaqeen, al-taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ is mentioned numerous times inside this surah. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Taqwa isn't to turn your face to the east and to the west or to do certain things. Allah lays out what is taqwa. To believe in the last day, to believe in Allah, to believe in the prophets, to believe in feeding the poor people, taking care of people, doing these good actions. These are symbols of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find the combination of this academic study of Surah Al-Baqarah and spirituality. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah and Allah will teach you. Because we become a people of just, if I can use such words, dogma, rhetoric, theology, belief, abstract concept of this is what belief is. That's not what Islam is. Islam is spiritual. That your concept is abstract entities that you study inside your life. What does it do to the individual? It leads them to the service of Allah. It leads them to servitude of Allah. That's when people always ask this question, how can a person kasbul ilm? How can a person gain knowledge? You can read as many books as you want inside your life. You can be, as the Quran describes, as a himar, like a donkey carrying books on their back. That's not what knowledge is. Knowledge here inside Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah and Allah will teach you. Allah will give ilham, inspire, give tawfiq, give guidance, give understanding, give farasa. That comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't just gain that by just reading certain things. And that will only come when there's a bond, a relationship between oneself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more that the person is rasik, as we mentioned, inside their belief regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more proximity they come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via strengthening himself via actions. Look at the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salam. He was the most busiest individual in the face of this earth. A statesman, a politician, a leader, a fighter, a warrior, a husband, a friend, an enemy, comrade, everything he was. Yeah, but look at his devotion, commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he missed even two raka'at of sunnah that he would offer during the daytime, which is just a sunnah, what would he do? He would pray at a later stage. At a later stage. He would fast continuously. He would be in state of dhikr continuously. He would be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously. That's the benchmark we look at. Because that is the ideal or the only role model that we have remaining in the face of this earth. وَالرَّسُولُ فِيكُمْ. The messenger lives amongst you. He still lives amongst us. Here we're not talking about a deviant concept of living amongst us. We're living in his texts. His texts are still there. If you read through his life, and even if you read through about the end of his life, you know, because many of us, we face this calamity of mort and death. Read about what the Prophet ﷺ, he went through towards the end of his life. And read his devotion, read his commitment, read his belief, read the belief of those around him, what happened to those individuals who may have weakened inside their belief. But the Quran mentions, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. That you, khitab, للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, إِنَّكَ khitab. Careful khitab is directly to the Prophet ﷺ. You're going to leave this dunya. وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Everybody on the face of earth is going to leave this dunya. So what's going to remain of the individual is their devotion and commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that this Surah Al-Baqarah is Medinan Surah of 286 verses that we find of 6,121 words and 25,500 kalimat or huruf that we find. This Surah Al-Baqarah is Al-Ism Tawqifiyah. Is a restricted name. Ulama begin to discuss about there's certain surahs inside the Quran that have certain specific names, and those names never reoccur, or that theme never reoccurs. Surah Ar-Rum, Al-Ankabut, Al-Naml. They never reoccur. The name only occurs once inside there. Surah Al-Baqarah, Baqarah only occurs a few times from verse 67 onwards. It occurs inside this surah. So this is a name given by the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So the person reads this surah and tries to understand how the impact of this surah, or how the Prophet ﷺ, he described this surah to us individuals. Amma fada'il, the virtues of this surah that we find, which have been collected by the ulama. Al-Baqarah, sanamul Quran. Surah Al-Baqarah, wa dhirwatuhu. Surah Al-Baqarah is the a'lahu, is the highest peak of the Quran. The crux of the Quran, the core of the Quran, the pinnacle element of the Quran. The most best part of the Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah. Inside the Quran, these 286 verses. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَنَامٍ. Everything has a peak, أَعْلَاهُ, an ultimate point that it reaches. And the ultimate point of the Quran is Al-Baqarah in the Hadith Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi, even though some ulama begin to classify it as da'if. لَا تَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قُبُورًا. Many times the Prophet ﷺ, he gave this example. Don't make your homes to become graves. Just like you pray in the masjid, go home and pray. So family members can see you praying, children can see you praying. And likewise, it builds your ikhlas. Billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to read sunan and nawafil inside the house. So he said about Surah Al-Baqarah, don't make your homes to become like graveyards. Because in the graveyard, you don't recite Quran. Look how strange it is that people do the opposite. People recite the Quran in the graveyard. It's not sunnah to recite Quran in a graveyard. Don't make your homes like graveyards. Recite Surah Al-Baqarah inside your homes. فَإِنَّ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي تُقْرَأَ فِيهِ Surah Al-Baqarah. The house which recites Surah Al-Baqarah, لَا يَدْخُلُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan doesn't enter that home. Hadith inside the Sahih of Imam Muslim. Whoever recites Surah Al-Baqarah, Shaitan doesn't enter into that home. And there's other narration that mentions whoever recites it in the day, then 3 nights, the Shaitan is expelled from the home. Person recites it at night, then 3 days. Even though some ulama have discussed that this hadith is da'if in nature, but from here, ulama have inferred, have taken from these ahadith and in general, putting them together, that to recite Surah Al-Baqarah every 3 days inside the home. Physically recite it. When Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullah is asked the question, how about playing a tape to listen to it? He said, you don't play a tape for the adhan. You don't play a tape for Yawmul Jum'ah. You have to physically do these actions. Playing a tape may be somewhere way down the line that someone who can't read or someone old or someone feeble, that just in the background person plays it. But what a person needs to do is physically recite Surah Al-Baqarah. Just like we began with that, you physically make that grind, you physically make that effort inside the morning to go and work. You wake up 6 o'clock in the morning, you prepare yourself, you get yourself ready psychologically, and you believe in that conviction. This is my kasb, this is my earning to take care of my family, my children, members. But when it comes to the Quran, then we should give £50, £100 to someone else to read the Quran. Someone else should come and read the Quran. There's someone else work for you when you wake up in the morning. There's someone do that effort and struggle for you. No, they don't. But look at that conviction towards the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is a book that Allah mentioned. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. Allah sent the Quran in the month of Ramadan. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. Guidance for mankind. لَيْسَ هُدًى لِلْمَيِّتِينَ. Allah never said it's guidance for dead people. He said it's for living people. Because when you're dead, that's the end of your life. It's for living people that you uphold the teachings of the Quran. That's why you find that we have to reiterate this fact that when a person dies, we all know what the questions are. We all know what the answers are. We all know what the answers are. How is a person going to be able to answer these questions? If a person read the book of Allah, person lived by the book of Allah, then the person is going to be given the tawfiq to answer those questions inside the grave. Likewise, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ إِذَا سَمِعَ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ تُقْرَأَ فِيهِ. Some narration that we find, once again, authenticity is questionable by some ulama, but the meaning is there. That as shaitan, yafirru, yarhab, or yahrab. Shaitan, he flees away. He runs away from the house whereby Surah Al-Baqarah is being recited. And that's why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned, inna shaitan yafirru min al-bayt, alladhi yusma'u fi Surah Al-Baqarah. He said that the shaitan runs away from the house whereby he hears the recital of Surah Al-Baqarah. You find that in an authentic narration side, Imam Bukhari Sahih that we find, of Usayd ibn Hudayr, who's reciting the Quran and he's reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. And next to him is his son Yahya. And he recites the Quran, he sees that the horse beside him begins to move. So he stops reading. فَسَكَتَ فَسَكَتَتْ. He stops and the horse stops. Or whatever is inside the stable, it stops. He starts reading again. And the horses begin to move, or whatever the animals may be inside the pen or the stable, they begin to move. And again, he stops. Then he fears for his son Yahya, and he stops reciting. فَنَظَرَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He looked up into the heavens, and he saw these masabih. He saw this light, this glowing light that was there. So he found that very strange. So in the morning, he mentioned to the Prophet, I was doing this action, I was reading the Quran, and I was with my son, I feared for him, and I stopped reading. The Prophet said, "Tilka al-mala'ikatu danat li sawtik." Those were the angels who came to listen to your voice of reciting the Quran. They came to listen to your voice of reciting the Quran. And if you had carried on reciting the Quran, they would have remained there hatta sabah, hatta la tatawara. And then they would remain there until everyone could visualize them. This is fawaid of reading the Quran. That's why ulama have collected the fawaid, the benefits of recital of the Quran. The recital of Quran, a spiritual benefit, a ruhaniya, spiritual benefit for the person within themselves. Hatta ulama have found they've gone steps further. The environment around them, the nur around them, the environment around them, the peace, the tranquility, all around them via the recital of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'allamu Surah Al-Baqarah. Learn Surah Al-Baqarah. Fa inna akhdaha baraka. Inside this authentic narration that we find, تعلموا أو اقرأوا, read Surah Al-Baqarah. Learn Surah Al-Baqarah. فَإِنَّ أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةً. Taking from Surah Al-Baqarah is barakah. وَتَرْكُهَا حَسَرًا. And to leave it is a form of loss. And then you find, وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَ بِمَعْنَى السَّحَرَ. And you find that the magicians are not going to be able to overcome that individual. Another problem inside our society. Person goes and does ruqya, goes to this person, to that person, to that person. Why can't we read the Quran ourselves? That's why some ulama mentioned that because the ayat, وَتَّبُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ, the shayateen follow that which we set down upon Suleiman, or the kiss of Harut wa Marut. So because of these ayat inside Surah Al-Baqarah refers back to this hadith. And others say because there's so many ahkam inside there and rules and regulations, or there's Ismul A'zam, the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside Surah Al-Baqarah, inside Surah Ali Imran, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, that it pushes away. It pushes away of the traps or the snares of shaitan. That's why there's three places inside the Quran he uses the name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Inside Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayatul Kursi, A'damul Ayah fil Quran. The greatest ayah inside the Quran is Ayatul Kursi, verse number 255. Ayatul Kursi contains only 10 segments, 10 sections speaking about whom? About Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali Imran begins by speaking about Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the third chapter. Then inside Surah Taha, Wa'anatil Wujuhu lil Hayyul Qayyum. The old faces will be on that day disgraced and lowly in front of Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the ever-living, the eternal, the absolute, the sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you find the power of this surah. That's why some ulama said that, look at the amount of names and sifat which are mentioned regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside Surah Al-Baqarah. And thus we find that those individuals that who fear about shaitan attacking them inside their lives, even inside this surah that you find shaitan is mentioned some five different places, or concepts of shaitan are mentioned, even the beginning story, Qissa to Adam, the beginning story of Adam, is all revolving around the attacks of shaitan. So this attack on the human being began inside paradise. It began inside paradise whereby shaitan, Lucifer, Iblis, the devil, Satan, that he made this promise that I'm going to give me respite. And I'm going to come, when I come upon the face of this earth, I'm going to derail most of mankind. Take them away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who knows Surah Al-Baqarah, Imam Shawkani mentioned in his tafsir, Fathul Qadir, that they would select the person to be the Amir. Who would be the Amir of the people? The person who knew Surah Al-Baqarah. And this goes back to the precedent set by the Prophet alayhi salam in the Battle of Hunayn. He called out, Ya Ashab, Ya Ahlul Baqarah, or people of Baqarah, people who memorize Baqarah, come forward. This is the respect that was given to these individuals. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned, Man qara Surah Al-Baqarah faqad akthara wa atyaba. Whoever reads or knows Surah Al-Baqarah has done best, is most excessive, is the best individual. That's why some of the companions said to them, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, it was difficult for us to memorize the Quran. Ponder over this. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is saying it was difficult for us to memorize the Quran, but easy for us to implement the Quran. And the future holds, it will be easy for people to read the Quran and memorize the Quran, but very difficult for them to implement the Quran. And it's been mentioned about Umar al-Khattab, took him amma hawali 8 or 10 years to do what? To memorize the Quran? To memorize only Surah Al-Baqarah. It said about his son, Abdullah ibn Umar, took between 12 to 14 years to memorize the Quran? La. To memorize just Surah Al-Baqarah. Because they would ponder and reflect upon every single verse. Hatta al-Rasul, some narrations that we find, that when he reads Surah Al-Baqarah, he would seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for paradise, or those ayat of zajr, of reward, or ayat of rahmah. He would, that was his regular practice. And in one narration mentions, he read Surah Al-Baqarah, not just Surah Al-Baqarah, the narration mentions that the companion began to pray beside him. He thought, maybe yakif ba'd the mere ayat. Maybe Prophet is going to stop after 100 verses. He carried on reading. Another 100 verses. Because Surah Al-Baqarah goes into the third juz. He thought maybe at Surah Al-Baqarah he's going to stop. So he went, depending which narration that you follow, he went to Surah Al-Nisa, which is some 200 odd verses as well. Complete that, came back to Surah Ali Imran, which is some 200 odd verses as well. And then went into what? Went into ruku. Wa rukuhu ka qiyamihi. And his ruku was just like he's standing. So tasawwaru, depict this. If Surah Al-Baqarah takes you about 45 minutes for a fairly active reader of the Quran to recite. And then Ali Imran, another 35 minutes. And then An-Nisa, another 35 to 45 minutes. Cluster it all together. Put that all together with recital, alayhi salatu salam, and then to go into ruku for that amount of time. That was a prophet, alayhi salatu salam. That's why he mentioned about these two surahs, Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, they will come as ghamamatan or ghayayatan. They come as two clouds for the person on the Day of Judgment. Or another narration mentioned, it will come like the wings of a bird that will be covering and enshrouding the individual, whoever memorizes Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Yani Ali Imran. So this was the practice of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Other wordings it mentions, it takes away hypocrisy. It narrated about Umar ibn Khattab, mentioned, even though ulama mentioned that the athar is da'if, but the meaning is there. Whereby he mentioned, Man qara al-Baqarah wa Ali Imran fi layla kanat aw kutibat min al-qaniteen. That he's written down or was amongst observant ones in devoting themselves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kana rajul idha qara al-Baqarah wa Ali Imran jadda fina ay azuma. Whoever read or memorized Surah Al-Baqarah Ali Imran, then this individual is given this due respect was given to this individual. This surah is As-Sab Al-Mathani, the seven oft-repeated verses. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِ وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ inside Surah Al-Hijr that we find. That's why you find the seven long surahs. Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, Al-Nisa, Al-Ma'idah, Al-An'am, Al-A'raf. And then some ulama, they jump to Yunus, they leave out. They leave it Al-Anfal, At-Tawbah. These are the seven long surahs. If a person reads and studies these seven surahs, Imam Suyuti mentions, فَإِنَّ فِيهِنَّ al-fara'id. In certain surahs, there's fara'id, rules and regulations. Al-Baqarah is full of rules and regulations. An-Nisa, the fourth chapter. An-Nur, that you find the 24th chapter. And 22nd chapter, Al-Hajj. That's what he said, read, study these surahs. As we mentioned that life isn't just about certain things that we do. The Quran is a book of implementation, a book of living by the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that this surah, in these 10 years in the Medinan period, it speaks about a tashri', about rules and regulations, about how we live our lives. Because this Western concept of religion is a spiritual uplifting in a personal relationship between you and God. It's a private communication between you and God in the spheres of your privacy that you worship God and you speak to God. La. Abadan. This is the biggest fallacy that's been pumped into our minds and brainwashed inside our minds. Hatta min ba'd al-Muslimin. Even from some Muslims, they push this into the global world. That Islam isn't a private relationship. Islam isn't a private relationship between you and the Creator. After that, it's a law. It's a governance. It's a form of living. That's why you find these ahkam inside Surah Al-Baqarah that we find. Al-Mu'amalat, Al-Ibadat, worship. Relationship, al-talaq, al-zawaj, divorce, marriage, tijara, al-iddah, al-rida'ah. All these things are discussed, al-jihad, all day inside Surah Al-Baqarah. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about all of this? If it's only supposed to be a personal relationship, because Allah is laying out the concept of what we need to carry out after believing in Allah, reading Surah Al-Fatiha, having tawheed, this is what you should be doing, applying inside your life. Not that we become this stagnant ummah that we become at the moment. That if anybody speaks about qawaneen or ahkam, then people say, oh, that must be a deviant individual, kaif. So all those ulama who wrote books of tafsir called, entitled Ahkamul Quran. What was their intent? Their intent was to highlight, to show that this is how you live your life, your codification, your life. Just like you follow a manual, how you eat, how you drink, how you dress, what you do. This is the manual of the Muslim. You don't just leave it on the top shelf and you kiss it for reverence or say, don't turn your back towards it. We should do all those things. I'm not denying that. We should do those things if you want to do them. But it's far beyond just a physical reference of just kissing the Quran and feeling alleviation. Pick up the Quran, read the Quran, ponder over the Quran, try to live the Quran, try your best to speak about the Quran is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thus we find that this surah begins with these characteristics that we find firstly of the believing individuals, four surahs, four ayat, then the disbelievers. Then you find some 12 or so verses speaking about al-munafiqoon. Look how strange the Quran is. You'd think that the Quran is going to speak about just the believers in the beginning. It begins by speaking about the hypocrites. Because Allah knows that this Muslim ummah, that we as a people, we're going to begin to traverse that path. So Allah is warning us that don't become like these individuals. And then you find numerous parables are given inside Surah Al-Baqarah, are placed there. And then the concept, as we mentioned time and time again, Tawheed inside Surah Al-Baqarah. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. O mankind, worship your Lord, worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all there inside Surah Al-Baqarah, first commandment. And likewise, Allah later on mentions that if you do really believe in Him, worship Him, if you really want to show gratitude and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, the Quran begins by speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Quran begins by speaking or highlighting la rayba fihi. There's no doubt regarding this book. No human being can write a book or write a thesis or write a discussion or a document and say that at the beginning of it, there's going to be no mistakes inside this. Or there's going to be no mistakes inside my life. Or anything that I do. This is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah begins the Quran behind. There's not going to be no discrepancies. There's going to be no doubts. Then Allah mentions, awwal ayah at-tahaddi fil Quran. The first ayah of challenging these individuals, challenge the world around us. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّنْ مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. Look what Allah mentions. He said, if you have any doubt regarding what we sent down on our servant, bring one surah. Bring one surah like the Quran. Then Allah doesn't stop there. Allah says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. You can't do it and you can never ever do it. That's why Imam Zamakhshi inside his tafsir, Al-Kashaf, he said, هذا لن للأبدية, for eternity. Allah began the Quran. That's why give it to non-Muslims, them to read it. That's why we're just so busy. We give them other things, we share other things with them. Give them a copy of the Quran. Challenge the people around us. Read the Quran. Find one discrepancy inside the Quran. 1440 odd years have gone by. There's no discrepancy be found by any individual. No discrepancy. That shows that this is a miraculous nature of the Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah began to, as we mentioned, began to speak about the first story. Or what as the Bible speaks about the book of Genesis, the book of creation, the story of Adam. There's certain similarities that exist there, but Allah highlights that how the Quran, it contains the final revelation of Muhaymin and Ali. Anything good inside other scriptures. You know, Muslims say that I want to read the Bible. I want to read the Injil. I want to read the Torah. Limadha? Well, for what purpose? Are you an academic student? Are you an intellect that you want to read the Bible and read the Gospel? The Gospels of Barnabas? You want to read the Torah? You want to read the Talmud? Are you doing some physical academic studies? No, just to see. As Umar said, there's no need to see. You have the book of Allah between you. Between your hands, read the book of Allah. Exert your efforts in reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's Muhaymin and Ali. It stands a testimony over the previous scriptures. It highlights their discrepancies, their downfalls are there, mentioned inside the Quran. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا. Allah said, I'm going to place a viceroy, a representative in the face of this earth. Place Adam alayhi salam upon this earth. After his initial mistake inside paradise that we find, Allah placed him upon this earth. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. Allah said in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, you're only here for a short while. But you know the soul, the body, 50, 60 years of living, it yearns. Friends, family members, food, drink, life, the good things, clings to this dunya. And we forget, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ. Allah said, it's only a short time. It's only a short time you live here and you have to return back to where? What is the real home of the believer? وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ. Allah called you to دَارُ السَّلَامِ. دَارُ السَّلَامِ is one of the names of what? Of Jannah. That's what Allah is calling us to, reminding us. Reminding us, وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah guides whomever He wills to the straight path. That's why the greatest prize, the greatest wealth, the greatest commodity is knowing that you found what inside your life? You found the path of Allah, Deenullah, Al-Islam. That's the greatest prize. So that grind that we do throughout our lives, striving and struggling, building an empire, building a business, taking care of our children, our life, our family and everything. They're good achievements. But you know, still inside the heart and the soul of the individual is qalaq, is diq, is haraj, is a cavity, hollowness, emptiness, lost identity, lost personality within oneself. Because why? Never found Allah. Never found Allah. Whoever finds Allah will find everything. Whoever finds Allah will find everything inside this dunya, inside this right place. Because Allah, and that's why you find inside this surah is full of ad'iyah, supplications. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَّنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَّنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah, give us good in this world and good inside the hereafter. رَبَّنَا, Allah mentions inside the surah, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِقْ عَلَيْنَا الصَّبْرَ وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِنَّ نَسِينَا وَاخْطَعْنَا. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا. As the ulama mentioned, make dua to Allah, رَبَّنَا. Call out to Allah using these supplications. That's what Surah Al-Baqarah is, the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. Whoever recites these two final ayat, كَفَتَاهُ, will suffice that individual. Whoever recites Surah Ayat Al-Kursi after every single salah, nothing will prevent that individual from going to paradise except for death. Mean that you're on your way to paradise in believing in Ayatul Kursi, believing in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. This is all what Al-Baqarah is. That's why we began with that, the concept of spirituality that we're lacking inside our lives. We read texts for ahkam, we read texts for ruling and judgment, which partially we should be doing. But many of us average individuals, we should be reading texts for spirituality, for awakening ourselves in that return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in conclusion, we find a whole third of this surah. So from verse 24 onwards to maybe 123 or so, that we find 100 verses. Thuluthul Baqarah. One third of Baqarah is speaking about Ahlul Kitab. Wa khususan al-Yahud ha'ulai. Those individuals. 100 verses continuously. Then there's a pause to speak about wa idhibtala Ibrahim wa rabbu bi kalimatin fatammahun. Speak about the story of Ibrahim. Then in the second juz, it continues again. Their treachery, their plotting, their corruption, their foul mouthing, their bad practices. They're killing and slaying of the prophets. What they say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all documented there. For what purpose? To warn us about the conduct of such individuals who existed then and existed today as well. Then we find the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then the Baqarah begins to speak about ahkam, as we mentioned. That's just in a nutshell, just some glimpses of what this surah entails. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability that these surahs that are supposed to be daily ritual surahs that we read and we recite, to bond ourselves with these surahs. Or la qal shay, that at least read some portion of the Quran. Just like you feel like eating and drinking and you have that yearn and desire, there should be a desire to read the Quran inside our lives, at least a page a day, a few pages a day. A person should feel emptiness when having read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it nourishes the soul, nourishes the mind, and awakens the individual. No matter how much of the Quran a person knows, the Quran is a deep book that you find that sometimes just one kalima, one word awakens the individual. One word inside the Quran may awaken the individual. One ayah may awaken the individual. The Prophet at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. He spent all night reciting this verse. If you punish them, then they are your servants. And if you forgive them, then you are Al-Aziz. You're the mighty, the all-wise. He read the ayah again and again and again all night. So you find that there's passages inside the Quran that can awaken the soul and the mind. Person could be just, for method and conclusion, just reading the Quran. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I complain of my grief and sorrow only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even said in conclusion, Surah Al-Baqarah, the final verse of the Quran, verse 281, what does Allah mention? وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear that day you're going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we mentioned, Baqarah is spiritual. And the final verse is spiritual. And inside that, inside these ayat, these ahkam, what is Allah warning us to do? Stop these actions that we find the Muslim Ummah is rampant of today. It mentions clearly about riba, about usury, about interest. There is no more powerful verse inside the Quran. The Quran speaks about shurb al-khamr, drinking alcohol, lying, stealing, cheating, zina, haram, treachery, deception. Highlights that. Theft, adultery, fornication. But no place inside the Quran does it say that whoever takes usury and interest, then Allah has declared war upon those people. Allah and His Messenger declared war upon those people. So as we mentioned, we complain about the state of this Muslim Ummah. The war declared upon us is legalizing these things, or turning a blind eye to these things, leads us to this pitiful state.